Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Daniel Foster of National Review Online is in for Jim Garrity, who's on vacation this week. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Dan, we were so optimistic a little bit earlier, cautiously optimistic, that somehow Eric Holder would have been scared by a threatened contempt of Congress citation. He had a meeting yesterday with Daryl Issa and probably Chuck Grassley as well. Turns out nothing really came of that meeting other than a little political posturing. And now this morning we discover that Holder has requested that the president invoke executive privilege on the documents, the tens of thousands of documents that the committees want. Obama shockingly has granted that executive privilege, Dan. And what was once a back and forth over possible political motives here by Republicans now just looks like cheap tricks by the Democrats, which ultimately could be good for us. But let's start with the bad here. Obama and Holder, these guys are interested in nothing, clearly, but covering their own rear ends.
William Jacobson at Legal Insurrection, I think, had a good quick analysis of this. He's been on top of Fast and Furious. He made the point that this is a classic extension of a classic stalling tactic on Holder's part. Initially, he acts like he's going to comply with the subpoenas coming from oversight. Then he delays. Then he, you know, opens negotiations, makes it look like he might turn over some documents, but not all of them. And when time runs out on all of that stuff, he calls for executive privilege and gets it. And of course, let's not forget that this is a president who has picked very particularly at executive privilege as it was used by his often blamed predecessor. We have Obama going back to 2005, criticizing a cozy relationship between the attorney general and the president for political gain, and specifically criticizing the use of executive privilege to cover up things even with a whiff of wrongdoing. And let's not forget as well that you can't use executive privilege to cover up anything that was improper. That's obviously illegal. And that you really shouldn't be using executive privilege in a program that you're saying the president had no direct knowledge of. So, I mean, yes, the Justice Department is an executive office, is a part of the executive branch, but you know, it's a little unusual for the president to claim executive privilege on something that he had no direct knowledge of.
So just raw politics here on the part of Obama and Holder, which leads us into the second martini, which is actually our good martini, and that's the potential political ramifications of this. I think this has to look sleazy on the part of Obama and Holder, and if the public's paying attention on this, then we're going to get a contempt of Congress citation, so you have to think that will at least get some coverage. Even if people don't know the details of this case, the basics are pretty easy to figure out. We gave guns intentionally to Mexican drug cartels. A border agent is dead, and people won't cooperate with the investigation. It's pretty hard to spin that when there are deaths at issue here, Dan, as something that is just a big partisan witch hunt. And so I think ultimately what Obama was trying to avoid here was a major scandal in a political year is going to be exactly that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think you hit it right on the head. It's like they say, the cover-up is always worse than the crime. I mean, it certainly looked for a while like, and I said this on yesterday's martini, that there was just so much else going on, so many other problems that this administration was wrapped up in from the economy on down, that Fast and Furious was going to get buried under all that. I think this has jumped it up a level. And I'll tell you, I won't go so far as to say I feel sorry for Eric Holder, because certainly he's not the victim in all of this. But by all reports, he's wanted to resign and essentially begged the president to resign, if we're to believe some of the books that are coming out about the first Obama term, for some time. And the president has convinced him that it would be very bad for him, that is for Obama, politically, for Holder to resign. So Holder's basically stayed on and gone through this process rather than resign. And it looks like they're not even going to avoid the whole bad for President Obama politically aspect of it, because as soon as you're claiming executive privilege, that's something that stirs up all those old Watergate feelings in the mainstream media, and even their inherent gentle bias towards the administration won't be able to, I think, fend them off from covering this story a little bit more now. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're just that uninterested in it.
Yeah, a little bit of a challenge also for Mitt Romney. I know a lot of people in the conservative blogosphere were really furious, pardon the pun, when anytime there was a border issue during the Republican presidential debates, just about no one, I don't know if Fast and Furious ever came up, and a lot of people were pulling their hair out over that none of the candidates had the gumption to go there. So we'll see if Romney will go there now that Obama has taken this blatantly political move.
I'm sorry, I was thinking about that, actually. You know, I think Romney's been smart to make his candidacy essentially a one-issue candidacy, jobs, the economy. Now that we're talking about executive privilege and contempt votes and potential legal action against the president, I think this story's got enough legs that absolutely he should make this campaign issue.
Now, speaking of Mitt Romney, he's been all over the place in recent weeks on a bus tour the last few days. And one of the legs of the bus tour took him to Pennsylvania, where he didn't get in trouble. But MSNBC and Andrea Mitchell's show, Andrea Mitchell Reports, is certainly in a whole mess of trouble because they tried to turn something Mitt Romney said on the stump into the equivalent of George H.W. Bush being mystified by a scanner at the supermarket. And here's the clip that Andrea Mitchell actually aired.
By the way, where do you get your hoagies here? Do you get them at Wawa's? Is that what you get them? Well, I went to a place today called Wawa's. You ever been to Wawa's? Anybody been there? Some people don't like, I'm sorry, I know it's a very big state divided, but we went to Wawa's. I was at Wawa's. I wanted to order a sandwich. You press a little touch tone keypad, all right? You just touch that, and you know, the sandwich comes in. You touch this, go pay the cashier, there's your sandwich. It's amazing.
So therefore, Mitt Romney is allegedly out of touch. Here's what Mitt Romney really had to say, and in addition to this, he had a couple other cogent things to say.
I saw the difference between the private sector and the governmental sector. Look, people who work in government are good people, and I respect what they do, but you see, the challenge with government is it doesn't have competition.
Right.
The federal government, that is. States compete all the time. I learned that. I learned how states compete.
So his point, Dan, of course, was that Wawa's got this great touchscreen system for ordering. They're doing what they need to do to stay ahead of the competition, make life easier for their customers, and government doesn't do that. He went on to tell the story of this optometrist who had to fill out 33 pages of forms just to change his address as to how the government doesn't get it and the private sector's got to be the way to grow the economy. Somehow all of that ended up on the cutting room floor with no apology from MSNBC.
Andrea Mitchell didn't do herself any favors with her non-apology. To give her, I guess, a modicum of credit, they did run the unedited clip the next day after the, you know, the storm came down on Twitter and the conservative blogosphere. But I think this is an example of the subtle ways in which media bias works. We're always looking for raw political agendas, you know, in the mainstream media. But this is now the second time in the last few months that a mainstream media outlet has edited together images and video and facts in a story to present something that's really not the truth. And I'm thinking of the Trayvon Martin case where there were so many distortions and so many tricks of editing and using old photographs and all sorts of things to just make this look like a story that it really wasn't. In the Romney case, they were clearly trying to manufacture a George H.W. Bush supermarket scanner moment. It was almost too close. It was almost too perfect of a match for that sort of out-of-touch moment that people accused H.W. Bush of having. And it wasn't necessarily about, oh, we desperately want Obama to win, although I don't know, I'm sure Andrea Mitchell does want Obama to win, but it wasn't necessarily about that. It was about fitting some pre-existing narrative, fitting some idea of what they have, some idea they have of what makes an interesting, compelling story, what the kind of story they want to be true and their friends want to be true. That's the really subtle way in which media bias works, and it's not necessarily so straightforward as we want to make Mitt Romney look bad. It's as much as it's, isn't it a more interesting narrative for us to tell over and over the stuffy white guy?
The interesting part here, I think, in addition to the fact that they got busted, which I love, is that a lot of the other mainstream organizations, Politico did a big story on this, Howard Kurtz has talked about it, the people that generally probably sympathize with them politically who are calling them on the carpet, and it's just reducing their credibility even more, which is also kind of helpful. We'll find out if they do change their tone at all. I'm guessing they won't. Dan, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Daniel Foster is the news editor at National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Thursday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.